I want you to declare with me a couple of words, okay? Say, Father, this message,
is for me.
It's not for the neighbor or my friends at home. The message is for me. Because I'm the one that's here. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. 2 Corinthians 5:16. 2 Corinthians 5:16. St. Paul told the Corinthians, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once regarded Christ from a human point of view, we regard him no longer in this way. Why? From now on, all who are called to the kingdom for such a time as this must no longer regard any man, including Jesus Christ, from a human point of view. To regard people from a human point of view is to see them through the eyes of our soul, mind, will, and emotions. To regard people from a spiritual point of view is to see them through the eyes of the Holy Spirit. So when you look at yourself from a human point of view, you might get upset.
Amen.
But if you look at yourself from the perspective of the Lord, what's going to happen?
You'll be encouraged.
Right on. Regarding Jesus from a human point of view can be illustrated how Jesus was regarded by his fellow citizens in Nazareth. Returning to his hometown shortly after entering his ministry, Jesus entered this village synagogue to attend the Sabbath service. Invited to read the scripture for that day, he was given the scroll of the prophet Isaiah and was led to read the following message. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind. Do you think the whole church was blind that day? Yeah, because you're going to see the fruit of blindness in a few minutes. To set at liberty those who are oppressed. None of that is happening here. None of that was happening in his hometown. And to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And Jesus then returned the scroll and went back to his seat. And for a brief moment, the entire congregation was moved and favorably impressed. As Jesus read these words, until he said, this day, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Influenced by the soul, they said to one another, is not this Joseph's son? Is not this the carpenter? The son of Mary and the brothers of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon and are not his sisters here with us? As to say, does he want us to believe that he is our village carpenter? Is of all people the promised Messiah? Impossible! He must be out of his mind! Angered by what Jesus had just said, everyone in the congregation rose up to expel him from their midst. In fact, they even tried to take his life by forcing him to fall headlong from a cliff at the edge of the town. But they didn't succeed. Luke 4, verse 16 through 30, Mark 5, verse 3. Take a break right now from that message. I would say this is approximately 1983, could be 84. I'm at my old church. The prayer group has been going and flourishing. There's many people that are getting baptized in the Holy Ghost. Many people are getting healed and delivered. And I have a lady that is actually getting ready to do an incredible job for this church because she is the person in charge of a great big celebration going on, and she can barely walk. I used to work for this lady, so I know her. I know her children, and I know all about her. I know that she's suffering terribly. We're in the edge of the kitchen. And I approach her because now the Spirit of God is on me, and I know it. How many know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. I know that if I lay hands on that woman, God would heal her. So I asked for permission. Anybody got a clue what she said?
No. You said no.
Immediately, who do you think you are, Kim Bergeron? And I turned and walked away. Why? Because she perceived me from? She knew me, I worked for her, my son was born when I was working for her, she knew me backwards and forwards, she knew more about me than anybody, according to her. And I said to the Lord, because I was offended. I was offended because of what I knew she was rejecting. What was she rejecting? The spirit within me was not acceptable to this woman, and the spirit within them, in their hometown, in his hometown, was not able to digest that the Messiah could possibly be in their hometown. Close your eyes for a moment. Say, Holy Spirit. Is it true that some of my people can't handle me? Are they rejecting the same spirit that they rejected Christ in Nazareth? For 30 years from the time Jesus was just a child, the people of Nazareth were able to see and observe him at close range. Although they were not aware of his divine nature, they could not help noticing that he was unlike the other people. They only noticed the uniqueness of his character, but also of his behavior. That he was not self-willed, but a kind and caring person. They saw his concern for others, especially for his mother, Mary, and for his younger siblings after Joseph's death. They also saw his willingness at the village carpenter to help those in need without expecting anything in return. They also were made aware of his genuine love and devotion to God by his attending the weekly synagogue Sabbath services. The reason they refused to believe that Jesus was their long-awaited Messiah when he declared, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing," was that they still regarded him from a human point of view. Had they been disposed to be enlightened, the Holy Spirit would have removed the veil of spiritual blindness and delivered them from the prejudices of their soul. The same was true of those mentioned in the 6th chapter of John's Gospel, refusing to believe that Jesus was the living bread of life, and that unless they ate his flesh and drank his blood, not literally, but in a spiritual sense, they would not possess him as a living reality. Their response to what they had just heard was that this is a hard saying. Who can listen to it? Aware of their conflict of soul, Jesus asked, "Do you take this offense? Do you take offense at this? It is the spirit that gives life. The flesh or the soul is of no avail. The words which I have spoken to you are spirit and life." They too could have been enlightened by the Holy Spirit, but they refused. Consequently, they no longer belonged or followed Jesus. John chapter 6, verses 60 through 66. Jesus' earthly ministry lasted about 3.5 years. During this time, he traveled throughout the cities and villages of Galilee, Judea, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every infirmity. When he saw the crowd, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd, Matthew 9. People from every walk of life not only saw Jesus, but also heard his teaching. Many were even healed and of their infirmities and delivered from demon possession. And yet, despite all they saw and heard, most of them still regarded Jesus from a human point of view. As his ministry drew to a close, Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do men say that the Son of Man is?" They replied by saying, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And these different opinions were the opinions of the soul. Jesus then asked the 12, "But who do you say I am?" And Peter, speaking from the rest, affirmed, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." This proves in Matthew 16 that it was available then. If Peter was able to get the message and get the revelation, what about the others? And that tells you and me something. If we are in tune to the Spirit and we question the Holy Spirit and we ask him to bring revelation into our heart for what I need and what my family needs, then there's going to be a change in me and there'll be a change in them. Why? Because you're not focused on their problem or how bitchy they've been all week and mistreated you, etc., etc. And I'm being bold, but it's true. Some people get insulted and they won't want to be a part of anybody. Why? God's trying to grow you up. Yeah, not push you down. He's trying to grow you up. He's trying to make you into adult Christians. What are going to be adult Christians? What are they going to look like? They're going to look like Peter, James, and John. And they're going to have a hard time growing up. Because Peter didn't like the idea of being crucified. How many of you have ever had a good thought towards crucifixion? How many of you have tasted crucifixion? Put your hand up if you've tasted it. You know what it says? It's rejection. It's anger towards you. It's hatred of who you are and what you represent. Many times, the Holy Spirit will give you insight. And he'll tell you something that you're not supposed to speak to someone else because they're not ready. Jesus had all 12 of them when he asked the question. Only one had an answer that was on target. Keep your eyes closed. Put your hand over your heart. Say, "Holy Spirit, get through to me. I don't know what you're going to have to do. I don't have that kind of wisdom. But you have it. And I'm expecting you to do like you did with Peter and many others. You revealed the Spirit of the living God. Being right there in front of him. In the Messiah that he now believed in. And no one but our Heavenly Father had revealed it to him. I'm jealous. I want more of the gifts. Not just for the gifts. But to release outside. Where I'm having a good time. To give out some relief. For the broken and the dying. In Jesus' name. I want more. Hallelujah. It's not by the soul that you're going to get it. It's by the Spirit of the Father. Amen. He's in you, and he's going to do a mighty work in you. You are blessed. I got you out in time, 10:15. And share some love with each other. And I'm glad that you're going to give that girl a ride home. We don't want her to be left behind because, you know, it's not a good idea. Share some hugs, okay?